Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. Like I told you yesterday, today is going to be a special treat, or I think you'll enjoy today's program. I'm going to delve into the diametrically opposing forces or ideologies that we have been facing that I think people need to understand exactly what it is that we are facing. But before I get into any of that, again, that's a film at six. I'm going to let you know that this show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, as well as 1798Part2.org, as well as RepublicReview.org. And you are listening to the only show that asserts the only solution to getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution. And the reason that this show, even today, is even in line and in sync with that, because what I think is important is I put it into context for you to understand why it is so important to understand our founding documents. And so we're going to get into that today so that we can kind of go through this polarized ideology that we are dealing with. So if you want to call in, by all means, feel free to do so. And as a matter of fact, today's show is one of those shows that is instrumental in kind of setting the groundwork as to why you need to download the podcast. You can find the podcasts on reclaimingtherepublic.org. And I have two sets of podcasts. I have this Red State Talk Radio podcast, and I have this KSBN, which is the local show in Spokane, Red State. It's my daily talk show on the nation here. Anyway, the reason why you want to download these podcasts is so you can literally stay in context with what I am talking about when I refer to different ideologies and so forth, or paradigms, and you'll understand what words I'm using and why I'm using those very specific words. Like, people want to know, why is it that you always refer to the federal government as the general government, especially in my writing? Because that is the accurate description for our government, because it is really not a federation or federal government. It has some powers, but a federal government and a federation based on a federation is really a government that has received the sovereignty from the Republic so that it can do almost everything. A general government is a government that is very limited and defined, and that's why Madison, Hamilton, and the rest of the framers referred to the general or the federal government as the general government, the national government as the general government. Excuse me. So it's important to understand these things and putting them into context, because I like being right. And so sometimes I'll use the vernacular of today, or, you know, the words and terms that most people are familiar with, but I try to keep things into context because it's important to understand why we have to, you know, why the framers use these words and why we need to be cognizant of the context of these words when we're talking about them. And so that's one primary reason why you want to download the podcast. The other one is that this show literally does provide you with the academic argument, not necessarily on a daily basis, but throughout the course of this radio show, you will get enough pieces to literally have the epiphany of understanding that this is what we have to do if you really want to save the Constitution. There's all sorts of things going on in the world. There are all sorts of catastrophes. There's all sorts of melees and problems. And all of them are, you know, horrific. And it's hard to take your eyes away from those types of catastrophic events. Whether it's peeling back the onion on this deep state, or whether it is literally a natural disaster. I mean, it is the curiosity of the human mind that wants to keep track and what's going on and understand those things. But I will tell you that as we engulf ourselves in those types of things, then it makes it hard to impossible to focus on what we really need to do. Have you ever been to school? Have you ever gone through college? There was all sorts of things in life going on around you, family, weddings, and so forth. And either you were committed to doing school, and that means that you had a hard time being able to meet some of those other obligations because school was a priority and an obligation. You definitely didn't want to have to waste that and do a class all over again. Because it, you know, the term is very finite, and you only have so many shots at getting so many papers and so many things done before your grade is final. You fail, you've got to do this class over again. And that's money out of your pocket as well as time, and time is money. And in this context, we only have so much time to save this Constitution. And as I say, we're probably about 2 to 5 years, because I think after the midterms of 2022, it may be done with, because we'll have so many kids, adults, I should say, coming out of the National Indoctrination Center that we will probably realize that they are more than programmed. They are salivating to throw away their sovereignty and their liberties. And the other reason to want to download these podcasts is because what I do talk about are topics and perspectives and views of current events that are really non-perishable. They will withstand the test of time. You can listen to my podcast a year down the road, 10 years down the road, and so forth. It is still relevant because it is on focus and topic of the Constitution and the way we need to be looking at things. Whether they happen to be parallel to current events, it is, and hopefully it is, a constitutional perspective that you can relate to so that you can put it into context as to whether these things are really important or not. One of the biggest things I really try to do, because it's important, is not only just educating, but motivating you, because you are integral. You are very important to this cause. If it is a self-governing process, if we are to be our, you know, in control of our own destiny, then we absolutely have to be engaged, and we have to understand what it is and why we're doing what we're doing. And so I believe today will kind of help you gain a better understanding, because the concept of, well, we'll just have to agree to disagree, is a fallacy. When you're dealing with people on opposite ends of the spectrum, that is a fallacy, and they know it and you don't. And so I'm hoping to get to that as we get into the meat of today. As you know, I like groveling. And so let me take a couple of minutes to kind of grovel. I do have a few people helping. I've got good people that have either endorsed the cause, and I'm considering actually putting the endorsements up on my Reclaiming the Republic page. But what I think I'm going to do, because I think it's more relevant to get that onto the 1798part2.org website, which is still being built. We just basically claimed that, as well as the republicreview.org domains just recently. That's why I've started adding that to the fact that this show is now sponsored by those. But if you happen to be in another state and you don't hear me talking about anybody, I have a couple of people in California, got a couple of people in Washington State, got a couple of people in Wyoming, but I mean, if you're in any of those states or in a different state, by all means, reach out. It's info@reclaimingtherepublic.org, not .com, .org, and just let me know that you're looking to see if you can help, and I can kind of go through with what I can, you know, what I need you to do and what I need help on. And I honestly believe that it's nothing that would be that taxing that you couldn't really get something done. I've had a few people helping, and I do appreciate it. I I would not be where I am today without the help that I'm getting, but I could use a lot more. And the more help I get, the farther and faster this can go forward. This is not about, and as a matter of fact, I keep telling people, this is not about money for GR. It's not like GR is going to be taking pennies, money, or anything like that, other than for the cause, to buying content, to buying time, to buying presentations, to, you know, travel and getting people together to be able to provide very relevant presentations to help motivate people in understanding, or at least getting them to understand and then motivating them to act upon that understanding. So with that, I would love to have anybody and everybody's help. Okay. If you want to, it's again, it is info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And as I always say, you know, I've looked out the window. There is no sign of the federal government disbanding any of its tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and powers. That means we're going to have to do it, folks. And that is why we're going to press forward. That's why people are coming on board. And I hope you join us sooner rather than later. I do want to make sure I plug, if you go to reclaimingtherepublic.org candidate endorsement page, please throw some love at these candidates. They need help. They need some money because it costs money to oust those incumbents and get these folks in. And so please just throw $2. I mean, what has been going in, and I just have to talk about this on the other side of the break, but because I'm at a hard break right now. So if you would just stay tuned, I will close this and then we'll dive into the ideological spectrum of what we are facing politically and societally. Thank you, and we'll be right back. Most people resist change, but how would you like to be rewarded in at least two ways for considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy believes your smile is a reflection upon him, and that is a mutually shared reward between both him and you. Another reward is improving your overall health by working with your dentist like Dr. Tracy and developing a strategy in maintaining your dental health. But how would you like a direct incentive in considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy and his staff from time to time offer a special referral program. For every new patient you refer who becomes a patient, Dr. Tracy will reward you with $50 off your dental work. Consequently, if you refer five people, that's $250 off your dental work. Give them a call and ask for the details and the availability of the referral program by calling 466-6614 or go to VonTracyDDS.com. Again, that's 466-6614 or sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, welcome back, and we are going to plow forward. I told you this is a big deal, and so that's why I've kind of changed the format just a little bit, And the big deal is that we have been fighting a ideological war for a long time, and it goes all the way back to the beginning of mankind. But I'm going to get into that because I just remembered I forgot to get into supporting the candidates on the endorsement page. So let me kind of close on this. If you go to reclaimingtherepublic.org, there's the candidate endorsement button that is on the right-hand side. It's towards the very top next to the home button. If you click on that, there are candidates right there. Now, one of the candidates, I believe, is Clarence Stiver, who does not have a donation ability because right now he still doesn't have his domain set up. So if you want to donate money to him, then I will be a conduit, or you can just reach out to him on Facebook and ask him how he can you can get money to him. But all I'm asking is if you can throw a little bit of love across the board to these candidates. I do know that Matt Hawkins, his primary is Tuesday next week, a week from today. So I will drop him, not from the candidate endorsement, but I will put a little note there that whether he was selected moving forward into the general. And then I will start actually adding some candidates for the general election, because there will be some candidates, hopefully, in Tennessee and a couple of other states that will be facing a very good challenge in the general election. And I'm hoping that I can help get with them in leveraging Republic Review and standing up for the Constitution so that they can differentiate themselves from their from their Democrat and independent candidates. Let's see who is the one that's actually going to protect your rights and your liberties. Because the Democrats, they may say that they're all about civil rights and everything else. No, they're about the statist civil rights. In other words, if the state feels you need to have those rights, like gun rights, speech, or what have you, then you can have them. But if they're hateful, they don't like them, then they're going to take them away. And that's only at this point. As we know, when they start moving further down the road of control and absolutism, then it will change dramatically. So that's why we really need to support these candidates. They are the ones that are literally stepping in front of this speeding train that is out of control, and they actually have the power. They're more powerful than all the locomotives. They can actually stop this thing using their authority as state legislators. So, okay, I'll try to remember to harp on this, not harp, but I'll try to remember to encourage each of you to consider contributing, because you don't have to spend a lot of money. Just a couple of dollars to each of these candidates would be a huge help. What they're getting is just a little bit of help. They really need more, and I appreciate those who have considered and even gone to the trouble of contributing now and in the past. So please, please, please help, because these are the Thomas Jefferson and James Madisons of our future, and that's why I'm calling them the framers of our future. So, as I have said, why is it, and I've been asking this question for about 2 months now, maybe a month and a half, why is reading our founding documents important? Why is it that each of us has a responsibility to read and understand these documents? And excuse me, it can be a lot. I mean, there are, if you read the ratification debates like I have, that's a lot of reading. That's thousands of pages. I think a following question to this, but to put it into context, is why is it important to read the fundamental doctrines or documents of one's religion, such as the Bible, the Torah, or what have you? And since most people in America are supposedly still Judeo-Christian, I can just kind of leave it at that. However, if you're of a different faith and you have a different document, why is it important that you have to read that? If one does not know and understand the actual tenets and doctrines that are defined in these documents, then as leaders, you know, whether they be ministers, priests, or what have you, when they want to start changing the tenets, they can change it without your knowledge. Remember, Martin Luther stood up against the fact that nobody knew what was in the Bible, and the Bible wasn't even canonized until the 1500s. So in a way, some of the church authorities were kind of making it up as they go along for several hundreds of years, for over 1,000 years, because again, the Bible hadn't been canonized for a 1,500 years, a little over that. And so my point is that as the needs change if you're not aware of those things that are hard, fast doctrine, then you have no idea whether you're getting the wool pulled over your eyes or not. That was one of the reasons why Martin Luther posted those grievances on the door of the chapel. Mankind, as I have said before, has struggled between two opposing ideologies, and this truly is a civil war of ideologies, and it dates back to the beginning of mankind. These diametrically opposing, you can see them surface throughout cultures and societies, both of these ideologies. And really, excuse me, even though philosophers have tried to create their own little mark on this, I use the term the scale of liberty. And I'll just explain this to you. If you imagine on a line, a linear line, on one side, I don't care if it's the left or right, on one side it's white. And white means it is pure freedom, pure liberty. Not necessarily freedom, because liberty includes both freedom, responsibility, and accountability. On the far end of this is black, and that is full subjugation. You have no control, you have no sovereignty, you have no liberty. You are told and compelled what to do. It is fundamentally the actualization of full slavery, where, you know, you're told when to eat, what to eat, and everything else. And so if one understands that there are 256 shades of gray, then there's these increments of gray from a light gray to a dark gray. And so the human eye, as I've told you, when I went through courses and learning about imagery and those types of things, fundamentally, the human eye can distinguish when you look at the scale of gray from white to black. Most people can distinguish about 16 tones and changes, but there are 256. And so why is this important? Because for every little step that you take towards subjugation, it may be a little change, a little slant on it. It may be, and I'll get into natural law and natural rights ahead in the show. But as we make these jumps or these little changes, we're literally stepping away from liberty and towards slavery or subjugation. These two ends are literally opposites. I mean, they're not just on the opposite ends, but they are literally opposites. And the band of white and the black shades and the black with the shades of gray, just kind of visualize that. And if you kind of look at that as a polar end, one is positive, one is negative. They are literally opposites. And as you know, in a magnetic force, negative and positive attract each other, but positive and positive repel each other. So anyway, I digress, and I'll get into more of that in just a few seconds here. But the side of liberty, I want you to understand this, when it comes to human beings and how human beings treat one another, on that far side of that spectrum, that side is tolerance, because they don't want to compel anybody. If you believe and embrace individual liberty and individual sovereignty, it is immoral and wrong to compel anybody to believe anything that you don't believe. It is very important that you are completely objective and that you try to encourage objectivity from the person that you are speaking with, regardless of where they are on that spectrum. This is literally the side of individual liberty and individual sovereignty, the liberty side of the liberty scale. This is really where one would find Christ-like characteristics in those on this end of the ideology, because one would not be trying to force anybody or anything else. And on the side of subjugation is one of intolerance, hate, fear, and death. Now, death is one of those things that, you know, happens to guard, regardless of where you are on the political spectrum or this ideological spectrum. However, death can become a tool, and I'll get into that down the road as well. This is the side of subjugation is the side where one finds the evil characteristics of man or carnal man. And I have talked throughout my show about enlightenment and society and how enlightenment has created a discipline within society so that society can continually ratchet itself to higher levels of capabilities of actualizing our true abilities in working with each other and cooperating and so forth. You got to understand that those people that are on the Stone Age side or the subjugation side, the full slavery side, that is old world concepts. I've talked about this before. And again, those on the side of liberty are those who want you to be free, think free, and want you to believe what is best for you is best for you, but not necessarily for them. And so I've got a hard break, but I'm going to get into this paradigm even more and more. And I'm hoping to break this down so that you can start understanding exactly, if you're on the side of liberty, you need to know who it is you're dealing with on that other side and how to deal with them. And so we will be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VONTRACYDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Okay, so we are back, and as we were just going into the break, I was just basically stating that those on the side of liberty are those who want you to be free. They want you to think free, and they want you to be objective and have access to all the facts. And as a matter of fact, within this paradigm, when this paradigm actually ran education, this is when academia was free. There was no subject that was really taboo. I mean, there may have been some standards for decency and so morality and so forth. But for the most part, when it came to political ideologies and those types of things, there was really no limits in the true liberal society. And if you think about it, those on the side of subjugation are those who do not want you to be free of thought. You could hurt yourself. And if you understand this concept, then it literally becomes one of those things that is a compulsion. The people on the side of subjugation are those who are in education with this paradigm are the ones that want to control every facet of the topics, like making sure that you were taught the climatology, that the world is dying from man-made pollution. That the world, you know, that we were evolved from rodents instead of this concept of creation. They want to control, like I said, every facet of the topics, and they do not allow academia or free academia. that they pose, they understand that free academia actually poses a problem, and that is why children that, you know, come and bring some type of topic. I had a friend of mine whose son went, and for a Christmas thing, it was a winter holiday, he actually dared to come and talk about Christ and his birth for Christmas, and the teacher excoriated him and kicked him out of class, and he was punished. That is what's going on. And so they want to control the narrative as well as society. And as they continue to ratchet their levels of control from the classroom, because the classroom is the future of our society, and they know that. That's why they took it over back in the late 1800s, early 1900s. If you haven't heard of the ISS, if you've never heard of... what do they come in? Socialists for Democracy, or the Industrial Socialism for Democracy. They changed their name so many different times, but I think it's the International Scholastic Socialist Society or something like that, or Scholastic Socialism. If you look, this was the Fabian Society that came in and penetrated our education system and literally took it over. I ask you now, if you start looking at this great picture of these opposing liberty and subjugation, if you look at nature itself, or if you look at science as well, you will find that there are opposites in almost everything. And even within the opposites, you will find actual opposites. And what I mean by that is, you, of course, I already said positive and negative, hot and cold, day and night, male and female, justice and injustice. We're basically developing a nation and a system of injustice because some people are above the law. Some people don't need to be held to the law. I'll even give you another natural opposite, which is bitter and sweet. And I'll even give you other scientific opposites. But before I do, let me plug and ask you that make sure, if you can, donate $2. There's only a few candidates. It's not like I got 1,000 here, folks. There's only, 4 legislators and 1 governor and 1 senator. So that's 6. If you donated 2, that's $12 this week that you would have spent on promoting the concept of actually auditing the Constitution and saving our republic. So please, again, anything that you can do will help. Let me move on. The opposites not only abound, but there are ranges of these, like the scale of liberty. You know, as you look at high frequencies and low frequencies in the sound of, you know, highs and lows, most kids get that. But actually, there are frequencies in the electromagnetic spectrum as well. And at the polar ends, these are actually opposites in frequencies. And I'll give you a good example. If one looks at the opposite end and there are the characteristics of sound, low frequencies are omnidirectional. High frequencies are very directional. They're very controlled. That's why at the higher levels of microwaves and so forth, those things are very directional and you have to be very tight. That's how we can communicate with satellites, because of the directional nature of those frequencies. In the big picture, the universe, that's the biggest picture, I think. The universe is dependent upon opposites, or maybe it would be better if I stated it that the universe is built upon opposites, because even at the molecular structure, you've got the proton and then you got the ions and the neutron that are basically circling around this thing. You add neutrons to the protons along with the ions so that you can add mass to the atom itself. Bottom line is, if one looks at the universe and space, these two distinctive opposites are, you know, literally right there in front of us. One can look at the star as it providing energy and black holes that consume energy. And actually, if you look and consider what the sun does, the sun is what gives life. It is the provider of life, for life to exist, for, you know, plants, human beings, and so forth. And the other a black hole actually destroys life. It consumes it and makes it unavailable. And so I think if you, you know, start looking at what I'm trying to convey here, that the action, you know, you actually have to have opposites. And so on the liberty side of the spectrum is where you allow the existence of opposites. In other words, the tolerance of allowing the contrary perspective and contrary views is acceptable. But on the other far end of subjugation, the state, where the state controls everything, it becomes unnatural. If you're understanding what I'm talking about, it literally becomes a state that is no, it is void of any opposites because they will not allow it. If you get all the way to the state of subjugation, to black, then any form of liberty will be consumed and or destroyed, and all will be compelled to worship, believe, and do everything based on whoever is dictating at the time, whoever the despot or the tyrant is at the time. And again, like I like to point out, the liberty end is where one will find these traits of tolerance and forbearance and understanding and actually objectivity. And again, like I just said, the subjugation side is one of intolerance and control. And just like the spectrum of sonic frequencies, one will find that at each end, they are hardwired with opposite characteristics, right? Omnidirectional and very directional. If you look, like I said, on the subjugation side, they do not want you to be able to freely think. They do not want you to oppose or create any type of questioning. That's why they have to control the narrative. They do not want kids to understand the truth. They want to be able to pervert via the education system our children into believing what their narrative is. And this is a very critical function of what they are doing. And that is why they have used the court system. And that's why I tell you that the courts, they haven't started denying liberty. They are enforcing subjugation and communism. That is where our nation has gone underneath our nose, because I have been asserting for a long time, if you've listened to this show, that our federal government has actually created and established a secularist church without building or without putting bricks together and without appointing an oracle. The government itself is the head and the functioning of that church, where when Obama was making edicts forcing the education system to start creating transgender bathrooms. Has that ever gone back? I like to point out to people that it has been proven, the empirical data is overwhelming, that when we, and because we have taken prayer out of school, and because we no longer have and teach the Bible and or the common sense of morals and the importance of morals and their function in society, our society, crime and debauchery has only gone up. And people are just saying, hey, we got to get back to the family. We got to get, no, we really have to disassemble our education system and start from ground up and get this back into the proper perspective, because we have created the Antichrist government and church, because what our government is doing is going after Christianity. Now, it's nice to see that Trump has created this religious protection, but who knows who comes in after Trump, after they have created all of this research and have all of this mining data on Christian faiths and so forth and going out and protecting them. That exact same data can be used, just like in Hitler's Germany, going after and targeting, because these are the enemies now. And I am telling you, they are the enemies as far as the progressives are concerned. They do not want you out there trying to, what do they call that, therapy people out of their perversions and use therapy to help people get cured and so forth. I'm at a hard break, but I do have more. What we're going to get into next is nature and natural law, because these are fundamentals that caused our enlightenment of liberty to get to what it was. And so it's important that we understand these things. And so we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VONTRACYDDS.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, so we're back. And I want to just jump right into these concepts of nature and or natural law. Sometimes it was referred to as nature's law, but I want to jump into this because if you kind of understand the difference between natural law and man's law, natural law is based upon the principles and truth, which is inherent to creation, which is fundamentally its origins fundamentally come from actually Israel and the old ancient revelations provided in the Bible, the Judeo-Christian concepts. Man's law is based upon dogma and beliefs and the constructs of the mind. Natural law is harmonized with and due to knowledge and understanding. It builds a symbiosis within society. With man's law, it is complied with and is due to using fear and punishment, like communism. Natural law basically is universal. It exists and applies anywhere in the universe, regardless of location, anywhere on the earth. Now, man's law will differ. Have you ever heard, "And when in Rome, do as the Romans do"? And it differs upon locations and upon the whims of the legislators and moral relativism. And as well as natural law, it is an eternal and immutable. It exists and applies for as long as the universe exists and cannot change. But man's law changes with time based upon the whims, again, of the legislators, sometimes upon the whims of science, and sometimes based upon the needs of those who are ruling. And so there are some real stark differences between natural law. And the reason natural law was so critical for the framers is because they were all, what's a good word for it? They were, they didn't get along religiously. The Puritans really looked down on the Anglicans. I've said this before. But they all did agree upon the same principles of natural law, even though some people were living a little bit differently based on those laws. They still believed in a creator. And that is why I'm telling you that if you want to really look at whether these men, because I've heard it way too often that the framers were deists, that is incorrect. That is a fallacy. That is a revisionist of history perspective. If you read the writings of these men, and I know a lot of people don't have the time to do that, but all you've got to do is really go to Thomas Jefferson, because he's the one that's picked on the most. If you go and read his letters to John Adams after they were both retired from their presidencies, if you read those letters, you can actually see Thomas Jefferson opening up his heart and soul to John Adams, letting him know that he was actually Christian. That the many, and he was explaining why he wrote the version or just the words of Christ instead of having the entire New Testament, because he wanted to focus on the words and acts of Christ. And so it is really important to kind of understand and get our heads around natural law. So I'll invite you, because this is from Wiki, I'll invite you to go look at this, and I'll try to editorialize. I don't have much time. This is why this is going to have to go into tomorrow as well. And that's why another reason why you have to download these podcasts. But natural law is a philosophy that is a byproduct, or I should say it is an understanding more than a philosophy. But most people, and in Wiki, they call it a philosophy. But it is a universal understanding that is a byproduct of society based upon liberty. Now, so Wiki asserts that certain rights are inherent by virtue of human nature. That right there, my friends, is a secularist or a godless perspective, because if you understand Thomas Jefferson's declaration, he didn't just say that it was by human nature. He clearly said that we were endowed by our Creator. The form of natural law, and truly, Wiki does kind of differentiate with this, but the form of natural law that created enlightenment with our framers as well as with Western society was based upon the fundamental tenets of Judeo-Christian faiths, and more specifically upon the Christian faiths themselves. And so, Wiki also says that it's endowed by nature. So as you read this, if you go to Wiki and just look up natural law, and this is really good for anybody and everybody to understand, because it helps set the perspective of what you're dealing with, because they've even made this slight little intersection or slight little change off of natural law to say, what is the other one? Nature's law, natural law. There's all sorts of different words for it, but every time they step away and they move away from God and the Creator, every time they go, they're taking that step or slide down that scale of liberty towards subjugation. And so as it goes, traditionally by God or transcendent source, that's where natural law comes from, and that these can be understood universally through human reason. And see, again, what they are eliminating is through individual revelation, that it's not just by human reason, but human beings can actually be touched and receive knowledge and receive insights and those types of things that they would not normally have received, not through reasoning, but through, and I'll just say it, folks, it's the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. And so they completely deny this, and that's why it's really important to read what the secularists are saying, because if you just read it as this is the definitive authority, then they've already convinced you that this has nothing to do with God and our Creator. And natural law was, there's no doubt in my mind, if you go back and read as the framers discussed this and talked about this, it was based on the fundamental agreed upon faiths and doctrines of Christianity. And so moving on, natural law as determined by nature, the law of nature is implied to be objective and universal. It exists independently of human understanding and of the positive law of a given state, political order, legislature, or society at large. They even go into the history of this, and they say, historically, natural law refers to the use of reason to analyze human nature to deduce binding rules of moral behavior from nature's or God's creation of reality and mankind. And you cannot say those words of binding rules of moral behavior in a religious context, because back in the very beginning, or in the origins of natural law, the moral behavior did come from God. I mean, the Ten Commandments, I'll even get into this, because the wiki even points to ancient Rome and Greece as the origins, but they do kind of point to the Bible as well, because they do this right here, and they say, the concept of natural law was documented in the ancient Greek philosophy, including Aristotle, and was referred to in Roman philosophy by Cicero. And that's true, but they were not the origins of it. References to natural law are also found, they kind of just throw this out as a little fact, references to natural law are also found in the Old and New Testaments of the Bible, later expounded upon in the Middle Ages by Christian philosophers such as Albert the Great and Thomas Aquinas. The school of Salamanca made notable contributions during the Renaissance. The point here is that, and I'll even say this just to be very, very clear. If you studied history, historians love to point to Roman and Roman law as the beginning of property rights. They say that it was the Romans that first codified property rights. And that is literally getting you to think, oh, well, that's how far it goes back. Well, when was the Roman Empire and when did these laws get codified? Because they were exposed to the Judeo-Christian, or I should say the Judeo-concepts of the teachings in the Bible, which same thing with the Greece, or the Greek, and have you ever heard of the commandment, thou shalt not steal? That right there, my friends, was the actual induction of property rights, because a person knows whether that is their property or not. It even went to King Solomon long before the Roman Empire even existed, and King Solomon had to make the decision of who had property rights over that child. And then he said, we'll cut the baby in half, and then we'll give each, you know, each assertion or each claimant here the, you know, the half of the baby. And in that wisdom, the mother said, no, please let her have it. And then he knew that that was the mother. And that was, you know, that was very wise of him to do that. But again, the property rights were already established by God long before Romans and long before the Roman society, even the Greek society. My point is, friends, is that as long as we allow their narrative to continually perverse the truth, then we will never look at things in the true aspects of what they really are. And some of those true aspects that I'm talking about are literally, you know, the origins and sources of our laws and our behavior. And the progressives and the progressive ideology and historians who have been revising our history have constantly gotten us to truly believe that we are literally evolved. They've gotten people to actually sit on both sides. Well, I believe in creation, but all of these other things that they've been able to manipulate and kind of prove to us, that must be true as well. Well, no, it's not true, my friends. And so we will get back to you tomorrow on this. I will go through the rest of natural law and these ideologies. I am G.R. Mobley. I'm reclaiming the Republic with your help. Thank you so much, and God bless. I'll be back tomorrow. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution.